Today we celebrate our faith that at the end of her earthly life, our Blessed Mother Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. It's a wonderful thing to be able to celebrate this feast day on a Sunday this year. And it also gives us an opportunity to hear in the first reading from the book of Revelation. We so rarely hear from that book during Sunday Mass. This is a rare privilege today. If you recall, the book of Revelation was written by St. John when he was in an exile on the island of Patmos. And the book is composed of visions and revelations that were given to John that he was then supposed to share with the Christian community. That's why it's called the Book of Revelation. And there's so much that's contained in that first reading today. I'd like to use it as the basis of our meditation this morning. As the reading opens, John sees heaven. And in heaven, he sees the Ark of God's Covenant. If you recall, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was God's dwelling place among his chosen people, Israel. Inside the Ark were the two tablets upon which God had inscribed the Ten Commandments. There was also a jar of the manna, the heavenly bread that the Israelites ate during their exile in the desert. And there was also Aaron's staff. Aaron was Moses' brother and the first high priest. And on top of the ark was the mercy seat. And on this mercy seat, God dwelt. His spirit came down upon the ark, and it was his dwelling place among his people. The Jews carried the ark with them on two poles as they wandered through the desert. They even carried it into battle with them. Most famously, the Battle of Jericho, when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And finally, when the first temple was finished in Jerusalem, the ark was enshrined in the Holy of Holies in the sanctuary of the temple. And once a year, the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. And he would sprinkle the mercy seat with the blood of the animal sacrifice as a sign of Israel's sorrow for its sins. The ark was the most important sign of God's presence with Israel in the Old Testament. And so when John sees the ark in this vision of heaven, it means that this vision is related to God's continual presence with his people. As the vision goes on, we see a woman. The woman, we're told, is clothed with the sun. She has the moon under her feet, and she's wearing a crown of 12 stars. Traditional Catholic biblical scholarship and Catholic art identifies this woman as the Blessed Mother, as Mary. And she's surrounded by light, she's clothed with the sun, and she wears this crown because she represents all of God's people throughout history who have been enlightened by faith. And as we look closer, we see that the woman is pregnant, that she's about to give birth. Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. Because as God dwelt once with his people in spirit in the desert, God chose Mary to be the Ark into which he himself would enter the world, that he would take on flesh, that he would live life in our world. He didn't want to be content simply with living in spirit in one place on top of the Ark. Rather, he chose Mary so that he could literally dwell in her for 9 months, so that he could come into the world. And we're told that the woman's child will be in conflict with this huge dragon, the devil, who waits to devour him. But ultimately, the child is victorious, that he's destined to rule all nations with an iron rod. So the woman in this vision is God's continual presence with his people, God becoming flesh, the ark of the new covenant. And as the woman is Mary, the woman is also the church, because the church continues to give birth. The church's faith gives birth to more and more believers, specifically through the sacrament of baptism. When we bring a baby to be baptized, that baby doesn't have his or her own faith. Rather, the baby is baptized in the ark of the church's faith as a gift given to the child. So the church continues to give birth through the sacrament of baptism, especially the sacrament of baptism, but the others as well. She gives birth to spiritual sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus. And we see the woman, she flees into the desert to a place that God has prepared for her. And the church exists in the deserts of this life. The church exists in the deserts and the wildernesses of this life in order to feed us with grace, to feed us by the Word of God and the Eucharist. The church exists in the wilderness of this life, and God exists in the temples that we create for him in this life. In the new ark, the tabernacle, the presence with us always. So here we have an amazing picture painted by the first reading. All of that was going on in just those few verses. How God prepared a people of old and journeyed with them in the Ark of the Covenant. And then in the fullness of time, he gives Mary to be the mother of his son, to come close to us, the Ark of the New Covenant. And then he gives us the church, in whose faith we are all baptized. So what does this have to do with us? How do we fit into this picture painted by the first reading today? The first way we fit into this picture today is to remember that Mary is our spiritual mother. Mary is our mother in the order of grace because she recognizes within us the image of her son that was implanted in us at our baptism. So when she looks at us, she sees her son. So as she is his mother, she is our mother. Pope John Paul II lost his biological mother as a young boy. And after she died, he went into the church and he knelt in front of the image of the Blessed Mother. And he prayed and said that you'll be my mother now. Well, that simple childlike faith, there's so much truth there. That Mary really is our mother because she's the mother of Jesus and his life lives in us. Secondly, Mary has gone to heaven to intercede for us. That's her whole purpose, her whole vocation. She is in heaven as a heavenly intercessor. And as any good mother wants the best for their children, Mary wants the best for us, materially in this life, to give us the things that we need, but ultimately so that we can be in heaven forever with her and her son. So she will not refuse any grace to us that we need on that journey to heaven. So we should call out to Mary as our heavenly intercessor. We should call out to her in our times of challenge and difficulty, but also in our times of joy. That as that wonderful Hail Mary says, that she might pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Her asking her to intercede for us is asking her to pray for us before the throne of God. And finally, what this has to do with us, where we fit into this picture, is that where Mary has gone, we hope to be one day. We profess in the Creed every Sunday that I believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe that on the last day, our bodies will rise from their graves and be reunited with our souls. And please God, we will then be body and soul in heaven. We will be what God has created us to be. Mary is there now. That was a privilege given to her by God, that she would not taste the corruption of the grave, which is a result of original sin. She did not have to experience that, but we do. But it is our sincere prayer, our sincere hope, our sincere trust that where Mary has gone, we want to be, we will be. And that is what Mary is praying for us, that we will be body and soul, what God created us to be in heaven forever. So that when we are there, when we are adoring God forever, we might always have on our lips the song of Mary from the gospel today. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.